Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be back here at Brighton Heights. It's been a while since I've been here to preach, but it's awesome. It's so great to be here. That was an amazing worship experience, right? So blessed with so many talented people, but it's interesting the words that were brought forth. It was just telling Sam as my brother was sharing that with the lukewarmness and then the one here, they all fit in with today's sermon in Joshua chapter 7. So just to get in there. So it's amazing when you're sensitive to the Spirit how these God moments happen, and it's a beautiful thing. So, but we are so glad you are here today, that you found your tribe, your church. Welcome home to our visitors here. Welcome home to those that have been here a long time. It is great to be with you. My name is Pastor Ben Kendrew. I go by Ben Kendrew at my house, but I'm the executive pastor, and it is a joy to be able to come and share the word of the Lord, especially here at Brighton Heights. I love Pastor Gary Paladin. He's a hero to faith to me, and so to be able to be here with you all is a joy. I wanted to start with this story. When I, my first half of my ministry career, I was a youth pastor. A student director, they call nowadays, but I worked in youth ministry for 17 years. You're just like, that's crazy. What's wrong with that guy? Yeah, 17 years of student ministry, right? And now I've been in big kid ministry for 10 years or so. But I wanted to share this story. I went to a summer camp called Surf City, where we would take middle school students, boys and girls. I have my leaders, and we would drive up. It was to Michigan. I don't know if you can see that. It's on this side of the hand. You know how people do that with Michigan? It was on that side. We'd go to Michigan. We'd take them out of their comfort zone in the Pittsburgh area to the fresh air of Michigan and the sandy beaches there. But we would take these middle school kids up there, and we would have them pack certain things, and there was lakes they'd go swim in and different things like that. But on our first day, it's me and another one of my interns, Steve, and we're there with our middle school boys crew. They're staying with us, and they're in their cabins. And after the first day, it's hot, it's sweaty. They come back to the room, and they are just ripe. They stink, right? They are stinking, and it's awful. Some kids are stinkier than others. How many of you know that, right? They just are. It's just science. I don't know. Look it up. Google it. But it is. They stink. And so we were saying to, I'm not going to say his name to protect the innocent. Maybe he's here. I don't. But we would say, hey, you need to put your dirty clothes in a package or like some type of a bag so they don't get, we're there for a whole week. So that can get pretty ripe. Well, as time goes on, we go to dinner that first day. We come back and there is a stink. There is a stink in the room that I cannot explain to you. I feel like if you weaponized it, you would win, whatever thing you were fighting in. And we kept saying, hey, can you guys smell that? And they're like, oh yeah, they're making all kinds of noises and things like that. And they're like, where is that? And middle school boys, they don't want to be embarrassed, and I get it, but I'm trying to be the youth pastor, trying to like take care of the situation here. And nobody would speak up. So let me just ask you this. If you have middle school boys or whatever, or if you've worked with them, what do they use to mask scents? Axe body spray. That's right. That's amazing. You know that. And so here's the thing. As a packing list, I would say to my students, you know, don't bring electronics. Don't do this. And at the very bottom, I would say, do not bring Axe body spray. And you know what they did? They brought Axe body spray. So there was this waft of like, you could see it. It was just like, just hanging in this air. And you're like, who is, but underneath it, you could smell that funk, that nasty, like, ooh, what was that? So another day goes by. I have one of the other youth pastors come up to me and go, yo, Ben, listen, I know you're trying to, you know, introduce these kids to Jesus, but what is that smell? What is that smell? And I said, I know we're trying to figure it out, but it's masked by Axe and we're not sure what's going on. And so we like look around. I say, hey, who has this clothes? Where is it? And they're denying it. I'm like, I know you smell that, right? I'm starting to get crazy. I'm like, you smell that smell. It's nasty. And then I leave the room. Guess what? Shh, they Axe body sprayed it. Finally, the camp like staff comes to my room and goes, Ben, We've got to figure it out. So I took all of my students out. They found it, right? They found, there was one boy named Andrew. That's a fake name. Andrew was hiding it. He stuffed this shirt, this nasty thing that just, it was so gross. I can't, I hope you, it was gross, right? Andrew stuffed the shirt under the, like, the mattress part. We looked, we couldn't find it, but it was stuck underneath there. It was hidden from us. Like, we knew it was there, but we couldn't see it. We couldn't find it. We could smell it, but we couldn't see it. It was hidden from us. And so the staff of Surf City, they grabbed it, they took it out, they showed it to me. And they should burn it, right? Amen to that. But they threw it away. They put it in the garbage can, they threw it away, and all was well. The morale of the kids went up. My youth pastor friends, colleagues started liking me again and hanging out, talking to me. All was right with the world, right? But if you think about that it's a lot like our lives, and I like that lukewarmness. I appreciate that word, that we think there are these little hidden things in our lives, right? That we can, that'll just go away if we just hide it or we ignore it and we don't deal with it. Have you ever done that in your life? I know I have, right? And when we hide those little things, they become bigger things, that it often impacts other people, that we think we're not aware of it, but those little things turn into big things and it impacts other people. And we think about the sin in our lives, right? It's the same thing. A lot of times we think that we're dealing with sin and the sin in our lives are not, we're just hiding it. Who knows? Who can really be impacted by this? But the reality is that the sin that we have in our lives is impacting other people. It may be impacting your kids. It may be impacting your coworkers, your neighbors, whatever it may be. But it's impacting people more than you know, right? And so these little things that we hide in our lives, maybe it's the sin we hide in our lives, they turn into big things that others are going to notice if we don't attend to them, if we don't take care of it, if we don't remove that dirty shirt and burn it or get rid of it, right? You can't just use Axe body spray in your life to deal with sin, right? You can't. That's gross and that's weird, right? So we've got to deal with the things in our lives. We have to get it out of there and take care of it. That's why as we go into this word today, I want you to keep in mind that communion we just took together in worship. We're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about the heaviness of sin as it pertains to Joshua chapter 7. But I want you to think about the redemptiveness, that God loves you, wants to deal with that sin. He wants you to come to him. We can go to the Father again and again and again, as we just sang, right? So please keep that in mind as we are thinking about Joshua chapter 7 and dealing with sin in our lives. Last week was awesome, wasn't it? We talked about the walls of Jericho. We saw VeggieTale clips, right? We saw the walls come down. It was amazing, right? That was like a mountaintop experience for God's people, right? It was a mountaintop thing where the walls came tumbling down. Joshua and the Israelites at this point in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, are feeling confident in who they are and who God has called them to be, and they're confident and more confident than who God is. And their faith levels are high. How many of you ever had that in your life, where you just had a mountaintop experience where you felt God move and you feel that in your life? That's where they were. That's where they had this mountaintop experience, their confidence level in faith. And they were on to the next battle. They were on to the next battle in our lives. How many of you know there's always a next battle? There's always a next battle. When you're on the mountaintop, when you come home from vacation, you come back and there's something else, right? And there's always a next battle in our lives that we have to, and we have to be ready for that next battle. But being aware of that, right, of that there's always gonna be a battle. It's usually after those big victories that we have in our lives, there's always something that comes after that, right? After Jesus performed miracles, he turned the water into wine. He went away in the wilderness, and then after that, the devil came, right, and tempted him, right. And oftentimes in our own lives, when we're having these mountaintop experiences, there's something that happens in our lives that we have to deal with. We go from the mountaintops of Jericho to the valleys of Ai, which is what we're going to talk about right now. But as Joshua chapter 7, things are going on. We have this battle of Ai. We have this one man. His name is Achan. How many of you have ever heard of Achan before? Achan is a man whose one sin impacted the entire camp, impacted the entire people, impacted his family, and it also impacted God's church, God's people, what they were trying to do. And so this is like the first battle that the Israelites are going to face defeat. In the promised land, they're facing this defeat, right? And so sin, why have they faced defeat? Because sin has entered the camp. There's some type of sin that is impacting them. They're not sure where it's coming from. They're not sure what's going on. They can smell it. They can feel it. But defeat has come. They went from Jericho Now they're in AI in the valley. Maybe some of you here this morning where you've had a mountaintop experience. Maybe you're on the mountaintop, but stay there as long as you can, right? But maybe some of you are in those low valleys right now of AI where you're just dealing with sin and you're trying to figure it out in your own lives, right? We did that right before communion. We confessed our sins before God and the mess we've made of our lives, right? And how we need him. But there is sin that is in the camp at AI. There's sin at the camp as they go into this battle at AI, right? And so the big idea today, I just want us to think about, is that we've been talking about the book of Joshua, we talk about courageous faith, but courageous faith confronts sin that affects these three things. When we're talking about a courageous faith, is being bold enough and having enough faith to confront sin and the effects of sin in our lives. How many of you know that sin has effects that impact so many different? Think about when you throw a stone in a pond or something, the ripple effects it has, right? And so sin affects individuals. It affects all of us, you and I. It impacts families. You think of all the generational things and the root of alcoholism and abuse and addiction that impacts families, right? But in this particular instance, we have Achan, who his choice, his sin impacted his family. And then we have God's people, right? I've been in a ministry long enough where I've seen one person impact an entire church where it takes the church down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go, right? It causes disunity rather than unity. And then God is not pleased with that. God is honored and blessed when he sees his children living amongst each other in unity, worshiping him in obedient faithfulness, right? And it takes courageous faith to do that. And that's what we're called to do this morning. We're going to look at that. So courageous faith confronts sin that affects individuals, families, and God's people. So we're going to look at that. If you're going to have your Bibles there, you could, or your app, whatever you have, there's going to be the verses on the screen. You can follow along. We're going to go through those verse by verse this morning and look at those effects of sin. So we have courageous of faith as believers. We need to understand those three areas, those circles that they impact. Now, first of all, in Joshua 7, verse 1, it begins with the word what? Can you see that? But. You're sitting on it. But. It begins with the word but. And so we have this mountaintop experience. Now we have the word but. That is a biblical indicator when you see that something is about to happen. There's a transition that's happening from this mountaintop experience at Jericho where the walls came down and God, it was amazing. Now it says but, and it signifies a transition is about to happen to God's people, right? Maybe this morning you're in one of those but moments, right? But I want to tell you, God is here. God is there. He's for you. Right? He wants you to come to him again and again. Here's what it says in verse 1. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things. Right? These are the first things that were set apart for him. Right? So the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zerahmi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Right? And so we see this here. We see there's four generations of Israelites that are part of this, right? And so there's something going on here, right? In the chapter 6 where Israel is defeated, they were instructed, right, not to take anything of the spoils. In those times, in this time of history, when you would go to war, there were spoils that were left over, right? Those spoils from Jericho were supposed to be for God, right? And so we have a problem here. We have a problem Achan took this, right? And so they were, in the defeat of Jericho, they were instructed not to take any of the spoils. It all belonged to God. It all belongs to God anyway, right? And so here how we had this important lesson. This is a story that was for them now, but there's really amazing truth for us today. The spoils belong to him. And so after Jericho fell, Achan decides, right, to take and hide the things that God commanded them to destroy and dedicate to him. Now, if you know anything, when you go against what God says, bad things happen, right? It's not good. It's not going to end well, right? It's not going to end. Remember Jonah? Remember that guy? Big fish? That's bad, right? But this was a blatant act of disobedience. This is a blatant act of disobedience, and God's anger burned. Why does God's anger burn? Because he desires a relationship. He desires obedience, right? And so if he gives a command, he wants his children to follow that. And so what we have here is Achan was disobedient in God's anger, turned to his God's view of him, and sin caused it to burn, right? And so when we talk about sin, I recognize, right? I've been in ministry for long enough, and the church has a bad PR. It's kind of to the world, but the reality is this: that sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be called out. Sin has to be pulled out from underneath the bed and thrown out. It has to be dealt with in our lives, and so we have to confront it. So if you have a courageous faith, we're called to confront that sin in our lives, right? There's no such thing in our lives. You ever heard someone say that the devil made me do it? Have you ever heard that? My kids would say that to me all the time. I'm like, come on, man. You got cookies on your face. There's cookies on your hand. You're in the cookie jar, right? But there's no such thing as the devil made me do it. We have a choice. We have a choice if we're going to. We have an attitude. We can choose that. We can choose to participate in that. Or we're going to choose to follow that, or choose our own selfishness, or we're going to choose obedience and follow what God has for our lives. But so often, we are so quick to blame the devil. But the reality is, we need to do a gut check. We need to look at ourselves, right? And we need to move from being lukewarm to following God with all that we have, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So why did God get angry? It's because he loves his children with an everlasting love, and all he wants is for them to be obedient and to follow him. All he wants for you and I is to follow him and love him with all that we have, and not to turn to the things that are senseless, right? And that were specifically set apart for him. Have you ever done something in your life that was profoundly affected the outcome, of course, of someone else's life, right? Have you ever done something that was profoundly affected the outcome and course of someone else's life? I was thinking about this question as it was posed with our team, and I'm trying to be brief with this. Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, right? And that started World War I. And from World War I, we get this maniac in Germany called Hitler. And the war begins with the United States and everybody, right? That calls up a young John Benjamin Kendrew. That's my grandfather. My grandfather goes to war. He fights valiantly, Staff Sergeant John Benjamin Kendrew. He fights. He goes into the army a good, good man, courageous man, and he came out a broken man. They didn't have PTSD back then, but he had it. And how did he cope with World War II? He became an alcoholic. He became an alcoholic and abused my grandmother and my dad and my aunt. My dad got married to my mom. Guess what he did? You got it. Same thing, right? Do you see the ripple effects of sin? We have a choice. You and I have a choice this morning, right? We have a choice. We can say we're not going to follow in that line, or we're going to follow and be obedient and have courageous faith and go after God, because it impacts us, it impacts our family, it impacts Jesus' church. We have a choice this morning. We have to have that attitude that we're going to have that courageous faith and follow him with all that we have. That we're not going to give over to the things that are like look good on the outside, right? Like gold or silver or some robe, right? But we're going to follow. That God is much more worthy to follow. So that question I asked, have you ever done something that profoundly affected the outcome of the course of someone else's life? That we see this in history. You can think of your own story. Maybe somebody has done something good, maybe bad too. But for the most part, this is something that has impacted so many different people's lives. In this particular case, in Joshua chapter 7, Achan decided to be disobedient. It impacted his own heart, his own soul, his family, and the Israelite people then. And we're gonna see how this unfolds. Don't be that person. Be that person that is strong and courageous. Choose that attitude. Choose to follow the Lord with all your heart. In verse 2, Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Aven. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all of our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. And so because of Achan, there was this impact that 36 people, his countrymen, were killed. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at the turn of the events, and their courage melted away. Courage from what? From Jericho. Remember that? Their courage was sky high. But because of this, they were gripped with fear. Courage was gone. When we are messing around with sin, it erodes that, and it causes our courage and our strength and our focus to move away and off of God, right? So they went from having great faith to having more self-confidence, and look what happens. Look what happens, right? They thought because Ai was smaller than Jericho that they were almost too strong and too cocky, too big for their britches, as my grandma would say, right? They were too big for that. So there was this rebellion that happened. They chose disobedience. They said, oh, we're not going to worry about it. And look what happens, the effects of sin. Instead of obeying it, this is what happens. So they went from a great victory, gripped with fear, and now their courage has melted away like butter, right? In Pittsburgh, humid summers. Joshua chapter 7, verse 6, it says this. Look at the response. So the elders, is there's this thing that they're realizing. Joshua comes together intentionally with the elders, the leaders of the church at the time, of the leaders of Israel. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Lord until evening. This was a sign of remorse and mourning, and they're because of what just happened, there's a defeat that's happening. This is what they did. They recognized that something's wrong. Good leaders that are in step with the Spirit, that are focused on Christ, are going to realize, and they're going to mourn and feel the effects of sin. They're going to. And so it says they tore their clothes, they threw dust on their heads, and they bowed face down until evening, right? Verse 7, then Joshua cried out, O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you were going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Does that sound familiar? Remember Moses and the Israelites in the Red Sea? Sounds very, very similar. So he went from having this recognition to almost complaining to God about what was going on. Right? He's on the ground. He's dealing with this. This attitude of the heart shifted, right? It shifted from being obedient to maybe complaining a little bit. How many of you complain when you're going through your struggles? Why is this happening to me? Right, that was a very strong hand raise. I appreciate that. Right, we all do that. We're all guilty of that, right? And we all do that. So this attitude shifts from, God, why would you do this? How many of you have ever blamed God for something in your life? Why would God let this happen? I'll put everything up. I have. I've blamed God for a lot of things. But I want to tell you this. I'll just say this. That if you do have doubts and struggles, God is big enough to handle it. Okay? But I also want to say this. Don't stay there. Move on from that. Present it, but then begin to worship him. Take ownership. Move on. Seek to praise him, right? Go back to him again and again. So he's big enough to handle it, but you can't stay there. You got to keep going, right? And so we have this shift, right? This courageous faith. I love that Joshua worked with the elders. Do you see that? He didn't go rogue. He didn't do things on. He worked with the elders. He followed what God had in store for him. He was a man under authority. And that's an important piece to see here in this story, right? In dealing with sin and dealing with the things in our lives, right? There's a process. There's a steps that we need to take in dealing with that. So it takes courageous faith, again, to deal with that. Let's go. Verses 8 and 9. Lord, what can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land that we're about to hear are surrounded us and wiped us out, our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to honor your great name? And so Joshua was here in this passage, concerned about honoring the name of the Lord, right? He was honoring God. It was courageous faith. When we're going through our struggle, this is a great takeaway, that when you're going through your struggle, are you honoring God? Right? I mean, that's convicting to me this morning. That often in my struggle, I'm just going to be real. Like, I'm not quick to honor God in my struggle. I'm not quick to do that. Sometimes I'm a complain, right? Like a man with a cold. Ladies know what I'm talking about, right? Mel would say it. But I don't go to God, right? But it takes courageous faith. And you see that in Joshua. He had courageous faith, right? To go to God, to recognize that he went with the leaders and they sought out a plan. Look what God's response is. I love this. Listen what God's response is. There's repetition in the book of Joshua. I hope you pick up on that. Verses 10 and 11 of Joshua 7. But the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Say get up. Get up. Get up. Why are you laying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded and must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and have hidden the things among their own belongings. And so God is telling Jeremiah, there's an urgency of what God is saying, right? Get up. There's an urgency. He says, get up and deal with the things that someone amongst you is dealing in sin and has stolen, but also they're lying about it. They shouldn't have done it. There's an urgency when it comes to dealing with sin. There's an urgency that God sees it. It's not something we put off until Sunday. Do you understand that you don't have to wait till you get here on Sunday to deal with sin? That you can deal with it at your bedroom side and at your house, in your car. You can deal with a brother or sister you can call to and deal with that. That you yourself can get up right where you are, even today or tomorrow. Get up, amen, and we can deal with that. That was so timed well, right? So here we have, you get this picture, right? Achan stole from God and he lied about it. And so God's anger burned. That is not how you have a relationship. That's not what love does. That's not what someone does when they're in a relationship, right? In verse 12, look what it says. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. They're running from their enemies in defeat. For now, Israel itself has been set apart for destruction, and I will not remain with you any longer. Okay, so that's the intent. That's an intense thing. Unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for the destruction. And so here we have, God is giving them a directive, right? He's giving them the directive. Deal with the stuff in your life. If you don't, my presence will be gone unless. Do you see? It's a gospel. It's a gospel presentation, right? It's amazing. You see the hope and the redemptive things that are going on. Unless, right? I love that. I love that you can see God's character here, his love for his people, right? So Israel doesn't have the ability on their own to defeat their enemies. But with God's help, they have the victory, amen? With God's help, you have the ability to have victory over the things you're dealing with. Not in your strength, but in God's strength. So now, who has the power to stop the church, right? The people in this room, right? It's not the devil, it's not God, but it's us. We have the decision to, if we want to cause trouble, we could stop God's church. We can cause a big problem, right? I've seen it. There are churches that have closed down because of stuff like this. But I tell you this, there's nothing more powerful and solid and strong and beautiful when the church of God, the body of Christ, bands together and focuses and walks in obedience with courageous faith. In verse 12, it says, that is why the Israelites were running from defeat itself had been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you. So dealing with that, okay? We think about how they dealt with it. They figured out what it was and they dealt with it. They began to formulate a plan, right? When we think about this, courageous faith confronts what? It confronts us, you and I. It confronts our family, and then confronts God's people, right? So the sin of this one man, his name was Achan, impacted so many others, right? 36 men lost their lives. Achan's family was impacted because they were part of that deception too, right? And now all of Israel, think about that. All of Israel were now afraid and terrified, and they had the courage of the cowardly lion, right? It was awful. You think about this. When we think about sin and its impact on us, on so many people, we think about King David in the book of Psalms. Psalm 51:17 says, David cried out to God after his sin with Bathsheba. It says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. And we heard it in those words that were part of that worship experience this morning, is that there's this thing that God desires. It's that repentant heart. Right? A broken and contrite heart, a repentant heart that comes back to God. You know, we look at David's life. We look at this particular instance in Joshua, right? It wasn't until there was repentance and dealing with sin that they were able to have this relationship and move forward, right? And so what does that look like? A broken and repentant heart should have the marks of this. It should have vulnerability. It's okay to be vulnerable, guys, men, right? To be completely open. Find someone that you trust, a brother and sister that you can go to, right? And be vulnerable, your spouse. God wants that. Transparency, being transparent, being real, you know, going completely honest with where you are and being humble enough to realize that you don't have it all together, that being right is not the goal, right? It's to be humble and seek after God with a humble heart. Verse 13, you with me still? All right. So, look at this. Here's that repetition I was talking about. In verse 13, here we go. It says, get up. Say, get up. Get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. Okay, Joshua came together with the elders. God spoke to them. He's telling them this now. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Listen to this. Hidden among you, O Israel, are the things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. Okay? So there's an urgency. There's a weight to sin. I know it's not popular, but it's serious to God. Our God is holy. He demands holiness and obedience from us, right? And so he tells them to consecrate themselves, to get right, to set themselves up, purify themselves, right? And so there's work that needs to be done, right? He wants us to do that. And so with the people here in this story, they're consecrating themselves and purifying themselves first and not doing it before. They have to get ready first. This is work that needs to be done first. And then they're going to go and take care of this situation with Achan, right? So get up a second time. We see that there was a repetition there. Anytime you see repetition, there's something there for God's children, right? Get up is a second time. Stand up. Quit groveling. Quit complaining. Get up. Don't settle. Don't get up. You know, look to God. Go back to him again and again, right? And so it's repentant brokenness, right? And it's not arrogance, right? We're not saying that, like, oh, Achan had it coming to him, right? So Israel's saying, like, we've got to deal with this. I'm sure when I read this, and the commentaries I've read and talking with Pastor Rick and Pastor John, some of the others, like, this was, the nation of Israel was brokenhearted about this. This is one of their own that kind of made a bad choice. And his family made a bad choice, and they're broken by this, right? And so there's this healing, right? But the goal is righteousness. The goal was to walk in righteousness. The goal was to walk in obedience with a courageous faith. A right standing with God was the goal then, and it is the goal today. Right standing with God. Where are you this morning? Are you in right standing with God? Or are there some things that you have to deal with? Right? Victory and faith are dependent upon removing the things that are sinful that are among us. Right? If you want to have the victory, you have to remove those things. You have to deal with it. You've got to do business with God. You've got to remove those things that are hidden among you. Like that student that was hiding that nasty shirt, right? And we had to get rid of it. We have those things that are hidden in our lives that God wants us to deal with this morning. And I appreciated those words that were brought forth. It was so in line. I didn't talk to anybody. And it's just amazing how God aligns himself and the Spirit moves. It's amazing. But victory and faith are dependent upon removing those things, right? There's a slide, there used to be a quote on here. It says this, that the only power the enemy has over us is a hidden power, right? And you think about this, is that anything that has power that's hidden, you think about maybe some secret or some struggle that you have, right? If it's hidden, it has power. But if it's brought to the light and it dealt with, and right, it has no more power, does it? And so the enemy of our souls wants us to hide things in secret and be deceiving, trying to deceive others. And in reality, he wants us to bring that out to the light, right? God was calling Joshua to a courageous faith. He was calling him to have this courageous faith, to follow him, to lead his people, that they would confront the sin and promote righteousness among the people, right? Be holy, for I am holy, as God says. And that is our goal for today, right? But it takes, listen to this, it takes faith to confront the sin in our lives, right? It takes faith to confront the generational sins of your family, doesn't it? It's hard work. Right? But that's what God wanted for his people in Joshua chapter 7. And I can tell you this, in 2023 at Brighton Heights, he wants that for you. He wants you to have strong, courageous faith. Deal with your personal sin and the things that impact your family. Don't stay down on the ground. Don't complain. Get up. Deal with it. Your family needs you. God needs you. The church needs you to deal with it. So get up. Don't stay down, get up. Confront the sin in your own life and for the love of God and his calling upon your life to follow him, stand up for your family. And so again, courageous faith confronts those sins of individuals, families. And then the second one is Jesus' church or the church or tribe, you know, that we see here, the tribe of Judah, right? We talk about Achan's demise. What happened here, right? How did he get to this point? How did he go from seeing all this amazing stuff to swiping and stealing and lying, things that were set apart for God? How did we get here, right? And you've seen other people in the Bible, right, that have decided on their own they're going to start being selfish and taking their eyes off of things. And right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a guy named Judas Iscariot that he started getting greedy, and he took his eyes off Christ, and he went his own way and betrayed Christ for what? For 30 pieces of silver, right? So often we think that these things that we give our lives to, we sell out for, like he took this coat, this Babylonian coat, right? Think of it in today's context. It was like a pair of the nicest Air Jordans or the nicest car or this nice house. It was a status symbol, right? He was thinking he was like some prestigious VIP guy because he was taking this. And then the silver and the gold were money in his pockets and protect, you know, for his family. We get caught up in that. That's not what God has for us. Those are things that are so shallow, right? And so God is saying him to confront that sin and take it out of the camp. And so he's from the tribe of Judah. His family was Zerah. He was from Zimri, right? So he was to deal with these generational things that were in his life. In Joshua 19 through 20, it says this, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. See, Joshua is confronting him publicly. He's calling him out. Tell the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me. In verse 20, Achan replied, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord and the God of Israel. Among the plunder, listen to some of these words. I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver buried deep with the rest. So he was publicly and personally confronted. But look at that, right? We have a slide, it should be up there. This is how sin works in our lives, right? I saw. Like we see something, right? It isn't the first look that gets us, it's the second look, isn't it? We see that, maybe it's, you know, I saw that robe, and then I made that second look back, and that's when this thought began to form in my head and began to go to my heart. Then it went from a I saw to a want, right? I wanted them. I began to move. It's this progression that happens in our lives. Then what did he do? He saw, he wanted, he took. I deserve this. My family deserves this. Why does God need this? Did God really say? Does that sound familiar? Okay? I took them. I saw, I wanted, I took. And then what did he say? What did he do with them? Did he put them out for display for people to see? What did he do? He hid them. He hid them. He hid those things so no one would know about that, right? And so there's this process. We think about that same process in our own lives. You know, it's that second look that's going to get us. And then it's that thought that turns into an action and an action that turns into regret. And that's not what God wants for your life. It's a good process to think about how you're dealing with the sin and the stuff. And the burdens in your life. Where are you on that? So think about that, right? When we think about just temptation in and of itself, James 1, you know, think about temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away, right? So drag us away from what? What God desires for us. The desires give us birth to sinful actions. They move us further away, right? You think about a little kid. I have two children. They're all teenagers now, but when they were little, they would go in the corner and they would have a diaper and they would do their business. And they would act like if they were in the corner, like no one would see it, right? But we could smell it. I would be like, Luke, what'd you do, man? And he'd go, nothing. He's making that grunty face, that groaning, his diaper sagging. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm good. I'm hot, you know. And so that's what happens here. Kids make this, and they go into the corner, and they make messes in the corner. He couldn't clean himself up. He could try. He could hide it, right? It takes a parent to clean him up. It takes a father to clean him up, doesn't it? So when we're dealing with the things in our own life, it's never good. When it's in secret, it's never a good thing, right? He confronted his sin, but he did not repent of his sin, right? He did not repent. And so he went from this victim, right? Listen to this. I think this, that we play the victim card rather than the repent of the sin in our lives. And I hope that's not you. Like it's never a good thing to play that victim card. Now, if you have gone through things, I'm sorry they happened to you. But playing that card is not going to, what's going to help you is to repent. To get that victory is not to be the victim. It's to get that victory is to repent and turn to Christ. That's how you will get victory over. So victors repent, victims will look to hide in the corner and act like nothing's gone. I'm going to continue on. Joshua and all the Israelites, in verse 24, took Achan and the silver and the robe and the bar of gold and his sons, his cattle, all of his belongings, and they had them brought to the valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. Even to this day, it means trouble. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us?" And you can hear the pain in his voice here, right? Joshua was troubled by his decision, his choice, his attitude to do this. "The Lord will bring trouble upon you." And so the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. And that's hard for us to think, right? We don't do that today, but that's hard for us to see. But what I want you to see, don't get lost in that. What I want you to see is the severity of dealing with sin. It's important. It means so much to God. Look at that symbol of the cross on the wall there. That means so much to God that we deal with the sin in our lives. When things are done in secret, it's never good. And so we need to bring them out and repent of that. In verse 26, listen to this. I'm going to have Aaron come up. It says, they piled a great heap. So this is talking about Achan and his family. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains there to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble, ever since. So the Lord, listen to this. This is the part I want you to see, this last sentence. So the Lord was no longer angry. Why was the Lord no longer angry? It was because they dealt with the sin. It seems harsh to us today, like, wow, that's a tough story. And I recognize it is. But that is the truth of sin. It's ugly. It's awful. It separates us, right? But once that was dealt with, once sin was dealt with, once there was the shedding of blood, God was satisfied. God was no longer angry. What's at stake, right? There's a world out there, outside these doors, right? In our city, that's waiting for God's people to make a positive impact on the world for Him. And what is that going to take, right? And so it's going to take a courageous faith. There's a quote that Pastor Rick said. It says, never confuse courage with arrogance or pride. Courage comes from faith on who God is. Arrogance is based on who I am. And so Achan and his family got that twisted. May we never be a people that gets that confused, right? That we could have this courageous faith, not on our own merits, our own work ethic, and all those things are good and fine, but in and of themselves are going to leave us empty. But we have courage, a courageous faith, because of who God is, amen? So arrogance in yourself and your stuff, it's going to lead you away from God. There's a beautiful image in 2 Corinthians 5 that points to Christ. It says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that he could be made right with God through Christ. And so all the sin that was dealt in the world, it had to be dealt with. And until it was called out, until Christ came to deal with that, we were lost. And so he became that sin for us. He became the righteousness of God, right? So here's what we have. We have this beautiful, loving God who wants to deal with the sin in our lives. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross once and for all to give us eternal life. In the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, it says this, the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. I love that. That we don't have to stay trapped by our sins. We don't have to hide in our burdens and our stuff and our brokenness. We don't have to hide. We can repent. Say that word with me, repent. Repent. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. You are not defined by your sins. You're defined by the love of God and the forgiveness that comes through Christ. That's how you're defined by. Now, there are some of you here this morning that maybe have been walking with God in for a long time in the same direction, and thank you for that. That's amazing. Keep going. But maybe you find yourself here dealing with some sin in your life that you need to bring out and call forward and say, "And I repent. I got stuff in my life that I need to deal with. It is too heavy a burden for me to carry." Maybe that's you this morning. And at the end here, I'm going to give you a chance here to pray. I want you to stand where you are, and we're going to pray. Actually, I'm going to have you all stand right now, if you wouldn't mind. That maybe you're here, maybe you're that veteran saint that has been walking with God for a long time, but maybe there's some stuff in your life that you know, right? Maybe you're lukewarm, hot or cold, but he wants you to deal with that and repent and believe in the good news of gospel. Maybe that's you. Maybe that you need to do that this morning. If heads bowed, eyes closed, let's do it that way. Maybe that's you this morning that you want to confess. God sees you and I can see you. And I won't just raise your hand up to God. God, I want to deal with the sin in my life this morning. I want to do business with you. I want to be in right standing with you. I want to have that courageous faith that my family, and I'm going to live a life for you, that I'm going to impact the world. Keep your hands up. Father, I pray for those brothers and sisters right now, that we acknowledge the brokenness in our lives, that it's too heavy to carry on our own, Lord. And that with the power of your Holy Spirit, because of Christ, what he did on the cross and the raised to life, Lord, that we can have the victory. We no longer have to be victims of our past or what's going on right now, but we can have victory today if we bring our sin. And so, Lord, all those things that we have this morning, we set them at the foot of your cross, right where we are, that we want you to take and make us new. Lord, bless them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to leave here as victors and not victims. Help them have that courageous faith to stand up and keep moving and to live life that it's a signpost pointing people to Christ. I pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. For those of you that may not know Jesus, this is why the church is here. That if you don't know Jesus Christ in this way, that you're dealing with sin in your life and you're like, I've never heard this before. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And you would like to have a relationship with Jesus. I would like you to raise your hand. We have a response team ready to go. That you want to have Jesus be the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. And you would like to have a relationship with him, that you recognize the sin, life of sin is not worth it. If that's you this morning, would you please raise your hand? We have a response team pray with you. Amen. So Father, this morning, I just thank you for this time, that this is not an easy topic to preach on, but it is a necessary topic. Lord, for you are a God who desires holiness and righteousness and courageous faith. So Lord, forgive us when we fall short of that. Lord, help us to deal with our sin that impacts our own lives. Help us to deal with the sin that impacts our families and impacts the world and your church. Help us to have that urgency of now and that courageous faith. Lord, I pray that you bless us. Lord, I pray that as we go, I pray that our courageous faith would not just stay within these walls of this church, but it goes out wherever we go, that your Holy Spirit was with us, and that we can come back to you again and again and again. So, Father, thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to tell you one thing. That is, if you're dealing, you can have a seat. If you're dealing with sin in your life, there's some great ministry that's happening here at Bridge City Church on August 8th. At Brighton Heights at 7 p.m. There is a women's night. I encourage you to come to do that. Come here and deal with some of the stuff in your life. Here's some of the women's issues. The same thing for men, which will be August 9th, the next day at 7 p.m. right here. This is an opportunity for you to deal with those sins and deal with that stuff and to do life together and have accountability and to worship, right? So I just want to encourage you to do that. I thank you for your time. I'm Pastor Ben. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Ben.